In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is the lesson just read, and we'd like to focus especially on that question, what did you go out to see? This text is remarkable for how it holds together two themes. You have at the end of the text the endorsement of our Lord that among men none is superior to John the Baptist. And yet at the very front of the pericope, you have this greatest of all men saying, are you the one? Are you the one, or should we await another? A fundamental question from the greatest of all born to women. And how does Jesus reply? He asks that John see. He tells the messengers from John to go and tell John what you hear and what you see. And there is a unity there. There is a unity that Jesus holds up by quoting Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, which holds up the great restoration chapter. All that is entailed in the Messiah's work is now displayed. The lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised. There's a unity in what Isaiah had announced and in what Jesus did. And that unity is what we celebrate this Reformation Day. Luther, in his own way, had cried out about the character of the Christ. He had longed for the one who would deliver him from pangs of conscience. And in this unity of sacred scripture, he beheld and he heard. It's important to do both. If I could illustrate, occasionally, in an effort to be pastoral towards some of our single seminarians, I have recommended a course of dating action. After I've given the name of the potential date to the seminarian, affirmed her orthodoxy, her brightness, all of her good qualities, almost inevitably the question comes, do you have a picture? And one time I have to confess to a weakness, I had actually brought along two pictures, one not very flattering of a medieval woman, and then one from a fashion magazine. And as the seminarian asked, I first showed him the one picture, and his reaction was memorable, and then the other picture. And his reaction was equally memorable. There is an importance about holding the unity of what we hear and what we see. For the gospel is the gospel of the incarnate one, the one who in his life embodied the very word that God had announced. It wasn't hidden in him. It wasn't a principle that he bore. He was the incarnate Word. And what he did mattered as he went about opening the eyes of the blind, visiting the ill, raising the dead, and announcing the gospel to the poor. And then this interesting and pivotal sentence, blessed are those who do not take offense or who are not scandalized in me. In his life, in his person, in his holy sufferings and death, we see God's word made flesh. The hearing of Holy Scripture must always be incarnated in the life of Jesus, the center of Scripture. And this Reformation Day, we celebrate the confession of that unity with John the Baptist and with Luther. It's important to preserve that because on both sides, if a portion of the church erred by elevating regulations at the expense of the gospel, there was also the view, especially espoused by Karlstadt, that the word could be interiorized in a way that the flesh was no more important. And what I have enjoyed reviewing ever so briefly is the artwork of the Reformation. For what it holds up before us in those classic Lutheran altars is the unity of God's Word and of God made flesh in Christ. Whether you look at Durer, Holbein, or lesser artists, the common altarpiece in early Lutheran churches was of the crucified Christ there in the flesh with his arms outstretched and the blood flowing from his hands, from his sides, and angels capturing that blood in chalices. Think of how those medieval peasants, or even the educated, would have, as they approached the altar, seen in that holy portrait the very thing that they had heard in the gospel. And that's our calling as Lutherans, to hold up the unity of spirit and flesh, to say that it's in what we see in Jesus and what we hear in perfect harmony with the Heavenly Father's will that we behold the gospel. And you know, there's something about beholding art. There's not much we can bring to that portrait, is there? It's simply a matter of receptivity. And that was what Luther learned, and that what we are called to. In a time that wants to push us toward a manipulated, consumeristic rendering of religiosity, or towards an interior rendering by which we sweep away art and music and all things that in that view are marginal, we will stay the course with Luther, who held up the Christ crucified and who kept the baptism into that Christ and the supper of Christ and the word of Christ central to the people's worship. Sometimes art bestows the real understanding. And I would invite you to reflect on those early altars as you reflect on this text. For there we have displayed, even as Matthew has displayed for us, God's love. In that holy blood, we see all the spiritual forces of God delivering us from the old evil foe. And it's all gift. All we can do is carry that gift to others and hold it up before others. God grant us grace on that Reformation mission. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.